This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Joy Powers. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, which you may already know. The breast cancer awareness movement has been incredibly successful. Many organizations have cashed in on it. You can buy everything from t-shirts and mugs to cookies or makeup sponges, all in the pink hue associated with the movement. But to some, the pink and pretty elements to this movement belie the painful and sometimes deadly realities of having breast cancer. Dr. Amanda Kong and Dr. Laura Field are two people who regularly deal with breast cancer patients. Dr. Kong is an associate professor of surgery at the Medical College of Wisconsin and its section chief for breast surgery. Dr. Field is an assistant professor of radiology at Frederick Hospital, and she starts by explaining how common breast cancer is in this country.
Every year, about 250 to 300,000 women are diagnosed with breast cancer. About 40,000 will die from breast cancer every year. So it's one of the largest cancers that affect women.
It's actually the most commonly diagnosed cancer in women. It's not the number one cause of death from cancer. The number one cause of death is actually lung cancer, if you look at the national statistics, but it is the most commonly diagnosed.
What does that look like in Wisconsin specifically?
There's approximately 5,000 women who are diagnosed with cancer in Wisconsin every year and approximately 700 to 800 deaths annually.
You know, one of the things you mentioned is that although many women get breast cancer, it's not the number one killer among women, even though it might be the number one thing that is diagnosed. Why is that?
I think it's because breast cancer is a very dynamic cancer in the sense that every year the treatments are changing. There are two huge meetings, the American Society of Clinical Oncology, ASCO, which is in June, and then the San Antonio Breast Symposium in December. And everyone waits for those two meetings because the treatments for breast cancer are constantly changing. Even I've been in practice for a little over a decade, and even some of the surgical procedures we're doing have changed. You don't see that kind of change with lung cancer or some other cancers that are treated out there.
With screening mammography, we're able to fairly easily detect breast cancers, often at a treatable stage. The majority of breast cancers that we find are treatable. Whereas for lung cancer, up until recently, there really hasn't been a good way to do any kind of screening. There is now a good method of screening for lung cancer. And for people who are smokers, I do recommend they avail themselves of that. It can really make an impact.
But I think actually people probably aren't even aware of the screening available for lung cancer.
Right. It's a relatively new thing, and it hasn't been taken advantage of to the extent it really should, because there's not as much that can be done for lung cancer. It's usually found much later. Breast cancer, there's a lot more treatments. We can usually find it earlier.
As you say, you know, there's a lot of attention given to the different ways that you can screen for breast cancer. Can you go over some of those?
Well, the gold standard is screening mammography, which generally involves two projections, two different views of each breast. A lot of attention lately has been given to what many people call 3D mammograms, which is very similar, but instead of just taking two pictures, it takes about 15 smaller images and then is able to reconstruct them and present them to the reading radiologist as 1 millimeter thick slices. So we're able to separate overlying structures much easier and get a much better chance of seeing something. I liken it to if a person is standing behind a tree, you're not going to necessarily see them from one direction. But if you can peek around the tree, and that's what this allows you to do, then you can separate that person out from that. So the main tool that we use for screening that has been around for probably since the 1980s, is screening mammography. In addition, for women who are high risk, there are other techniques available. Breast MRI is the most sensitive. In some places also do screening breast ultrasound. And there are some other forms of screening that are on the horizon that aren't quite being used yet, but will be.
Now, my family has a gene mutation which makes us more likely to develop breast cancer. When I've gone to geneticists, they've specifically told me because I'm under 30 because I'm under the age that they generally suggest for people to start getting mammograms, they've said it was a good idea to get an MRI. Is that a standard recommendation that if you are somebody who has a higher risk of developing breast cancer, which is premenopausal at a younger age, do they suggest that you get that kind of screening?
Yes. So it is recommended that by age 30, women who might have strong family histories should get some kind of risk analysis. And if they are found to be at high risk for breast cancer, then screening breast MRI is what's recommended. Usually we don't start screening women before age 25 in general, but some women by age 25 are getting screening MRIs and even some alternating with mammograms because they do detect different things.
Well, in the case of my sister, she had breast cancer by the time she was 26, so.
I'm sorry.
But I will say, actually, with that in mind, as a woman who was about 25, 26, she had a very hard time getting a mammogram. And I've heard this from other women who are young and have developed these kinds of cancers, that it can be very difficult to get a mammogram. Why is that? Are there hoops that people have to jump through in order to get a mammogram?
Well, if you're not in the screening population age group, or if you have a lump, you're not going to be in the screening population. So if you have a lump or focal pain or some other particular problem that might indicate a breast cancer, you need to start by seeing your physician. And at that point, if your physician and you decide that some additional evaluation is needed, they would put an order in for a diagnostic mammogram and ultrasound usually to follow, depending on the situation. Usually for women under 30, we start with ultrasound, but it all depends on the situation. So if a person has a lump, they should see their doctor if they feel something.
Well, and that gets to another question that I have that I think a lot of women have. What are the symptoms of breast cancer? If you're someone who is worried whether or not you have a proclivity toward breast cancer, what are some of the symptoms that you might see?
So typically, breast cancer is actually found most often on screening mammography. As Dr. Field said, we're catching more cancers earlier and earlier. So I would say in the postmenopausal or even over 40 crowd, the cancers we find are really screen detected. I would say in the younger crowd, so less than 40 who are not being screened, it's usually a palpable mass that the patient will feel in the shower or in bed, or even oftentimes their partner will actually find it. But other than that, usually besides feeling something, cancer doesn't really cause pain unless it's growing through your skin or very large and compressing something. You don't have fevers. Sometimes the skin may turn a little red if it's pressing up against the skin. Occasionally, you might see nipple discharge, but that is not common. So really, it's a painless mass.
Yeah. A lot of women will come in, especially in the under 40 crowd, who feel a lump, their doctor feels a lump. Most of the time, that's going to be innocent. It's very common to have cysts and these growths called fibroadenomas in that age group, and they can be palpable. So the first thing somebody thinks when they feel a lump is, oh my gosh, they have breast cancer, but women under 40 should still get it checked out. But the first thing is most likely to be is going to be something simple and innocent, not something horrible.
So when it's not innocent, when it is something that is a cancer, what are the next steps? And I know this is an answer that kind of varies based on the stage.
The first thing that'll generally happen if a woman feels a lump and she comes in and she'll have a mammogram and or an ultrasound and we'll find an abnormality that needs the next step. And the next step is to get a sample of it and send it to the lab. That's done through a needle biopsy almost always these days. That's an outpatient procedure. It's relatively simple. Everything is done clean. It's not in the OR. It's just done outpatient. The skin and the deeper tissues are numbed up, just like if you went to the dentist. So there's a little pinprick and some burning. And then a needle is placed while we can watch the imaging to guide it exactly into the right spot. We collect a few samples. We leave a little marker clip behind so we know exactly where those samples came from. And then those samples go to the lab. And then depending on what the results are, the next step may be to visit with a surgeon.
So by the time the patient ends up in my office, they usually have a diagnosis of cancer. I'll take a complete history from them. And if there's anything suggestive of perhaps a genetic cause. I'll refer them to genetics. But the important thing to know is that 90% of breast cancer is sporadic. Only 10% is genetic. So it's actually a very small proportion of people who actually have a genetic cause for their cancer. After taking a complete history, I'll do a physical exam on them and review their images. And so typically I'm looking to see if I can feel the mass. If it's screen detected, I usually don't feel anything. I'll look to see how large their breast size is relative to the size of the tumor, because that will help with surgical planning. I also feel for the lymph nodes. And if I feel anything suspicious in their armpit, because most of the time breast cancer goes to the armpit first if it's going to spread, I may refer the patient back to radiology to get a biopsy of their lymph nodes to see if it's involved. Patients will often ask me, well, aren't you going to scan me from head to toe to see if I have cancer anywhere else in my body? And typically we don't do that unless we know it's spread to the lymph nodes. So if we know that there's lymph node involvement, then we will scan them from head to toe. And that usually consists of a CT scan of the chest, abdomen, and pelvis, and a bone scan. Most patients do not present with nodal involvement, only about 20 to 25% do on presentation. So most people, it's actually contained in the breast. So if that's the case, then we discuss surgical planning at that point.
Now, I know there are a lot of different options if you do go the route of surgery and reconstruction ultimately. And, you know, I know this largely from my sister working on these kinds of cancer hotlines. A lot of women are very concerned about having breast, about losing their breast, about really what life looks like before and after, and largely the after. What are the options for women who are afraid of losing their breast?
So I always like to tell patients they're basically two different operations. So you can take out part of your breast or all of your breast. So one option is a lumpectomy, and it's often accompanied by radiation therapy. And the reason why we give radiation therapy is if we do a lumpectomy and we send someone out on the street and we don't give them radiation, the likelihood of a recurrence within 5 years is about 30%. So one in three, it's pretty high. If we look at contemporary data, if we give radiation, it drops it down to about 6%. That's significant. And I know many people will often be scared of radiation therapy, but there's a lot of new technology, not just in radiology, but in radiation therapy, that will spare the dosage to the heart and lungs. That's what most people are afraid of. So we've come quite far in that field. The other option is removal of the whole breast or a mastectomy with or without reconstruction. And I think an important thing to know is that I think many patients think, well, I just want to live, remove my whole breast. And we know from over 20 years of data that lumpectomy and radiation and a mastectomy are equivalent in terms of survival. And the way I frame that with my patients now is, because I think it's very hard for people to wrap their head around that, is when we hear people die of breast cancer, it's not because it comes back in the breast or the chest wall, but it goes to other sites, their liver or their bones. And surgery can't really prevent that. It's only there to remove the gross disease. But in terms of a mastectomy, patients will often want reconstruction or no reconstruction. I know that the New York Times actually had published an article about how people are going flat now. So that's an option for some people. And when they want to go flat, they can have a prosthesis. But if you want reconstruction, there are many options now. We used to just do skin-sparing mastectomies where we preserve the skin envelope and take the nipple and the areola with the breast. But now we're doing nipple-sparing mastectomies where we hide the incision along the underwire of a bra, along that fold of the breast. And you can have reconstruction with either an implant or with your own tissue. And most commonly at our institution, we'll do something called the DIEP flap, or the deep inferior epigastric flap. And what that is essentially is you end up with a tummy tuck. They take the fat off your belly that you would get with a tummy tuck, except they dissect out the vessels that feed that paddle of fat, and they plug it into the vessels underneath your breastbone, and they form a breast. And it's very natural looking because it's your own tissue and it is fat. And not everyone's a candidate. It's like the three little bears. You can't be too skinny. You can't be too heavy. You have to be just right. And I think our plastic surgeons are really good at determining that. And, you know, you'll often find that option at a high volume center because it does require someone who's highly trained in microvascular surgery.
You know, I think we hear this term, breast cancer awareness, quite a lot, and I think that has a lot of meanings to different people. But for both of you, what do you think breast cancer awareness is, and what do you think the importance is of it?
Well, breast cancer awareness is taking action to have your mammograms annually. We can't find breast cancer if you don't have a mammogram. If we don't look, we can't find it. So taking the attitude that if I don't go to the doctor, everything is fine. I'm feeling a lump. I'm going to ignore it. It's nothing wrong. That's being unaware of a problem. Being aware is doing regular breast exams, being aware of what your body feels like, so that if there is a change, you're more likely to detect it sooner than later, and taking the right steps.
You know, I'd like to echo what Dr. Field says. And I would say, in addition to being aware of your own body and detecting a cancer in yourself early, I think breast cancer awareness is just being generally aware that it is the most commonly diagnosed cancer in women, and reminding other women that this is important. Your mother, your sister, your friend, I'm too busy to get my mammogram. No, you're not too busy. It's painful. And, you know, it may not be comfortable, but this is your life. And it's being aware of what treatments are available and what we're doing in terms of research and supporting that, whether it's, you know, through any of the various foundations nationally or in your hometown institutions. You know, those are just important things, and that's how we've made all the strides we have in terms of treatment.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Kong, Dr. Field, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect and sharing your work.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Joy.
Dr. Amanda Kong is an associate professor of surgery at the Medical College of Wisconsin and its section chief for breast surgery. Dr. Laura Field is an assistant professor of radiology at Froedtert Hospital. You can find more of our coverage of medical issues at wuwm.com.